Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we begin a series of sermons for Advent under the theme of homecoming. And this is supposed to pave the path for our celebration of Christmas when our focus will be on John 1:14 and the Word became flesh and made His home among us. The details of the series are all there in the bulletin on the second page, so I won't go through them, but our focus for today is the preparations for going home, the preparations for going home from Luke 21. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing over us this day and throughout this season, that as we prepare, that you prepare us, our hearts and minds, to celebrate the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. The time of preparation has begun, hasn't it, out there in the world? We had the pageant yesterday morning and the carols last night for those who went along to those things. We've got Christmas trees going up everywhere and lights and decorations. And you can see the signs out in the world that Christmas is coming. The shops are getting stocked up and ready, and the roads are getting busier, and the schools are drawing to a close, and office Christmas parties are happening. People are making their plans for their family gatherings, and others are trying to organise flights and all sorts of things. The period of preparation has begun. Honey biscuits are being made. I think I've eaten more than my yearly quota in the last couple of weeks. That's a sign for me that Christmas is coming. The period of preparation has begun. As Christians, when we take part in these things and when we see these things going on, sometimes they can bring us a lot of joy and they're great to be a part of, but sometimes they can leave us a bit unsure as well, or a bit questioning whether these preparations are the most important preparations or the only preparations that we as Christian people should be making. There's sometimes a tension between the way our culture gets itself ready for the celebration of Christmas and the way we in the church might want to get ourselves ready for the celebration of Christmas. Now, the lection read, the program of church readings, always surprises us on the first Sunday of the church year by beginning at the end. By beginning at the end, right? You come to the first Sunday of the church year, you don't expect to hear readings on the second coming of Christ and the judgment and all those sorts of things. But that's exactly what we get every year without fail. Why is that, I wonder? What are we supposed to learn from that? I think one of the things we're supposed to learn is that one of the best ways to prepare to celebrate the first coming of Christ is to prepare for the second coming of Christ. And that these two things are actually really closely related. So today our focus is on his second coming and the preparations for going home, that is our final home, our heavenly home. And so the three sort of headings for us today, the problem with preparing, the two parables on preparing, and the preferred posture of preparing. Not everything has to start with a P, but today it does, right? So Jesus says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. The problem with preparing for anything, let alone for the end of the world, is the fact of the unknown. That so much about what is coming is not told to us, that so much of what is about to happen is not known to us. We get these little signs, these little indicators. But we're also told at other places in Scripture that it's not for you to know the day, it's not for you to know the hour, it's not for you to try to predict when all these things will happen. So much for us remains unknown. If you think about the traditional Christmas family get-together and the plans and preparations that go in to making that happen, there can be a lot of problems with how to prepare. You get one person who's trying to put together a menu for Christmas lunch and they don't have any idea how many people are actually coming to Christmas lunch. That makes it hard. You get another person who's out there trying to buy presents, and they're not quite sure who they're meant to be buying presents for or what the budget they agreed on last year was, right? All these unknowns around our Christmas and our preparations. You get one person who's trying to prepare to get some time off work because they know they're supposed to be working. And if they can't, then they're preparing themselves to tell their family, actually, this year, I can't. I have to work. Why is that funny? So that's because that's me, right? Having to work at Christmas time, okay? So there's lots of people preparing flights, preparing accommodation, preparing all sorts of things for the coming of Christmas. And of course, the danger for all of us as we make our preparations is to think that every other person is the problem, right? And if they could only get their act together, this whole thing would be very simple and would fall into place very quickly, which is usually not the case. But that's what we're often tempted to think. The problem of preparing. Now, Jesus says that as the end approaches, there will be signs, there will be anguish, people will be perplexed. He says some will faint with terror because they're so apprehensive about what's coming in the world. The problem with preparing for that end, like the problem with preparing for any end, is that we think these things are in our control. And we think that if we can just manage them and organize them and get them all in place and have all the chess pieces in the right spots, then it'll all go fine. We can ensure its success. And anything that comes up, we can handle because we're in control of it. Now, when Jesus starts talking about these signs, what are these signs? These are things that are above our heads, out of our hands, so far out of our control, right? He's talking about things we cannot manage, we can't grasp, we can't even get our heads around them. And he says, when you see these things happening, you know the end is drawing nigh. I think partly he wants us to see our smallness and that there is a lot that's out of our control, and that's not such a bad thing. What that does is it helps us to stop looking for all the answers internally, which is what we naturally do, and to start looking for some of our answers externally, which is where he wants us to look. He says, at that time, they will see the Son of Man, right? External. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. The problem with preparing is when it becomes too much about us and not enough about him. So what are the parables of preparing? Jesus gives us two little parables, and one of them's obviously a parable. The other one's only a tiny little reference, but it's like another parable about the coming of God's kingdom. And we'll do that one first. Jesus says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. That's the parable. Like a trap. What is a trap? It's something we don't know is coming, right? And all of a sudden, it's there and it catches us unawares. It's something that comes out of the blue, and the consequences are often disastrous. Now, one commentator, Matthew Henry, explains it like this. He says, what Jesus is talking about here is the inordinate pursuit of the good things of this world through which our hearts become overcharged by the cares of life. When I read that quote, I thought, yeah, that's what I see around me at this time of year. I see the inordinate pursuit of the good things of life. They are good things. But through that inordinate pursuit of them, our hearts become so overcharged, we race, we get busy, we get anxious, and all of a sudden we're just overcome by the cares of life. We enter this kind of Christmas haze. You see people walking around like this at this time of year? They're just in a haze. I think this is part of our issue. What we do is we take what's on the periphery and we bring it to the core, and we take what's at the core and we push it out to the periphery. And all of a sudden, we're not quite sure where we are or what we're doing and what we're celebrating and what the purpose of it all is. If we allow that to be our pattern, not just for Christmas, but for our whole lives, then Jesus says that day may come on you like a trap. There is a second parable, and it's a more pleasant parable in many ways that Jesus uses. He says, look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and you know that the summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. It's interesting that this parable is almost the exact opposite of the other parable, right? When you see a fig tree sprouting and leaves coming, it's this gentle, gradual shift going on. And it means summer's on the way, and that's a good thing as well. And it just happens gradually. And anyone who's watching knows that it's happening. And anyone who's got their eyes open to it knows that it's coming. And I hear Jesus saying here, there is another way to approach the end. And it's to have our eyes open and to be watching and to be alert to it. And in that case, the end doesn't come like a trap. It comes like something quite expected and quite gradual and even quite beautiful if you think of the summer, the warmth coming. It's a good thing. It's something we could even look forward to, something we could even be positive about as it approaches. When you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. It's His kingdom, right? And part of the problem is that we always think it's our kingdom and it's our world and we have to control it. Or we think it's all about other people and making them happy. And so it becomes about us or it becomes about them or it becomes about the extended family or whatever it is. His kingdom is drawing near. It's about Him. It's about Him, the kingdom of God. This parable of the fig tree tells us to keep our eyes open, to keep alert for the coming, not of ourselves, but for the coming of His kingdom into our world. If we change the focus, if we make it about us, of course it causes apprehension and perplexity and anxiety. If we make it about Him, then it comes on us like that beautiful, longed-for summer's day that He intends it to be, not like the trap of the first parable. So, how do we make sure that this day comes on us like that? That it's the fig tree and not the trap? How do we make sure of that? What is the preferred posture of preparing? Jesus says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Two postures, right? Two ways of being. The first one is prayerful. Prayerful. Be on the watch and pray. Jesus is saying that this day doesn't come as a surprise to anyone who's prayerful. To anyone who's prayerful. Advent is a really good time of year to establish or to re-establish or to at least try to re-establish our prayer life. Because the world's getting busier and people are doing more and we're caught up in it. And often, things like prayer and a devotional life goes out the window. And Jesus says, this is the time to pray. This is the time to be on your knees. This is the time to be connecting with your Heavenly Father. How does that work out for you, I wonder? You know, you need to know. How does it work for you? Is it in the morning? Is it at night? Is it at other times of your day? What do you pray? Do you find it helpful to have resources? There's a lot of resources. I've started using Luther's morning and evening prayers again lately. So helpful. So short, right? So easy. Lord's Prayer. Every week in our bulletin, we print prayer needs. They're right there. Just pull out the bulletin. You know, at the end of the book of Revelation, there's this prayer that's so short and it says, Amen, come Lord Jesus. You could do a lot worse than praying that prayer every day of Advent. Amen, come Lord Jesus. You know, prayers like this, they help us prepare and they help us approach that day with a positive mindset, one that looks forward to it rather than fears it, because we are watchful and we're prayerful as we see it approaching. The first posture is the posture of prayer. The second posture is the posture of standing, being on our feet, Right? And this comes up twice in the reading today. Jesus says, stand up, lift up your heads, because this is your redemption drawing near. You know, if the end of the world was all about us, right, and it all hinged on us and depended on us, and we had to make sure it was all going to work out for the best, of course we would hang our heads. We would be overwhelmed by that, wouldn't we? We would be anxious about it. We'd be scared. We'd feel unworthy of it, like it was too much for us, like we couldn't even begin to understand what all this was about. But Jesus says, it's not about you. It is for you, but it's not about you. It's about Him. So stand up, lift up your heads, look at it, it's coming. And similarly, every day of your life, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is coming. It's not just then, it's happening now. So stand up, lift your heads, be confident, not in yourself, but in Him. Because He is your redemption and He is always coming. He's always close to you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is all for you. It's just not all about you. It's about your Lord. The moment this becomes about us, it loses us and we lose it. It's just like Christmas, right? The moment it becomes all about us, we lose it. We lose the core. We lose what it's there for. If it's about Him, if the core's in the right place, everything else takes care of itself, right? If the core's the core and the periphery's the periphery, then it is what it is intended to be. The more we center this on Him, the more we revolve it around Him, the more we allow it to take its cues from Him, the more it is what it was intended to be. This Sunday, too, as we think about the preparations for going home, for that final home, this, too, is about Him and the time when He will return to bring to its final goal His redemptive work in our world and in our lives. What can we do about that except to pray with Him, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have been preparing a home for us since the beginning of the world, the foundation of the world, and that one day You will come and You will take us to that final home. Lord, as we prepare for that day, help us to be watchful, help us to be prayerful, help us to be standing and lifting our heads and facing each and every challenge of this life and this world with confidence, not in ourselves, but confidence in You, who lived and died and rose again for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.